Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, August 26th. I'm Ray Graff. Time again for another one of our regular sessions with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, YouTube phenom. Today we discuss what she calls the incredible and confusing world of fruit desserts. So if you have trouble telling the difference between a crisp and a crumble, you can't tell your slump from your pandowdy, this is the show for you. And by the way, what the blue blazes is a pandowdy? I have no idea. Presumably Chef Sokol will shed some light on that one. To join the chat, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. Mystery, adventure, fresh fruit. Chef Gail Sokol, it comes up after the news. Oh, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Say, what's the difference between a crisp and a crumble? A slump versus a pandowdy? Well, you got me swinging. Let's find out. Today we talk about the incredible and confusing world of fruit desserts. Joining us is award-winning chef, educator, and author Gail Sokol. Gail was a faculty member for years at Schenectady County Community College and the Sage Colleges. She's the author of the widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking and a cookbook, Baking with Success. She has a successful podcast called Baking Radio and is the star of a growing number of baking how-to videos, one of which is linked from today's Vox Pop page. The number to call if you want to talk about all sorts of crumbles and buckles and whatnot, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number on this Food Friday, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Gail Sokol, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Really good. Now that I've tucked into this pandowdy or whatever.
This is a mixed berry crisp.
It's a crisp. All right. Well, we'll get to the differences, yes, the subtle nuances of all these different things in a moment. But what is new with you?
Oh, now am I just spending the summer away, going too fast?
Yeah.
You know, it's just going too fast.
It really is.
It really is. Taking long walks and trying to relax when I can, which is not too often.
You look pretty relaxed.
I'm doing a lot of videos, so I'm trying to, you know, get
okay.
it all.
Well, that's a great way to start.
Throwing now, the ball. We have a lot of fun, my daughter and I. We do.
I linked the video for the thing we're going to talk about today.
Yes, the mixed berry crisp.
Off of our webpage. But you have been doing more and more of these things. What are the latest videos you are doing now?
Oh, one of the most fun is a raspberry chocolate. It's a whoopie pie.
Oh, I love whoopie
pies. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's so good.
Yes.
And it just went out, I think, at Monday. And it's raspberry red velvet whoopie pie.
Oh, my heavens.
With a homemade, like, marshmallowy, like, mountain frosting. So easy to make, and it's so delicious.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so we'll talk about that on your next tour. One of your next appearances, because you're a regular here on this program, and you came up with this topic. You said it's going to be the incredible, confusing world of fruit desserts, which I believe is one of the videos that you have done.
Actually done a podcast on this, and it is confusing and crazy, and the definitions overlap, and people never know whether they're making a crisp or a crumble or whatever, but this is a crisp.
Well, I mean, you know, okay.
All right.
Can't you just name it whatever you want? Like, my wife will make a blueberry buckle.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we just call this thing here a buckle?
Well,
what's the difference?
Buckle is more like a coffee cake with a streusel topping and fruit throughout. So if she's making a buckle, it's going to look more like a cakey type thing. This is not cakey. This has cooked fruit on the bottom. So I put mixed berries and I added a little lime juice.
Uh-huh. What does a lime juice do?
The lime juice just gives it a little bit of a zing. You know, it's a nice contrast to all the mixed berries. I use blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries. I mean, they're gorgeous. All fresh. You could use frozen, of course. And then you put this light, crispy topping. And crisps usually, but not always, have oats in them. So this has oats in the topping. So it's got this finer, you know, like mixture that you make. So it's got almonds, usually nuts, oats. I added coconut.
Yeah.
Okay, you like that coconut.
No, I love it. I love what I'm eating here. I'll tell you.
A little flour.
Yeah.
A little, and I added coconut sugar because I just love the nuttiness of the coconut sugar. A little bit of butter. And then you put in some cinnamon. You mix that up so it's the dry part of it, and the butter sort of holds it together with a little bit of maple syrup and a little bit of coconut extract.
Yeah.
Just to really give a little, you know, extra zhuzh to the coconut in it. And then you sprinkle it on top of the fruit and bake the whole thing.
For how long? Because to me,
it's like 35 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it would need too much baking time.
You could make this in a huge pan, or you can make it in a little one. A little like 9x9 or anything you want. And it can serve a crowd. I have whipped cream here for you. You could serve it with vanilla ice cream, any type of ice cream you want.
You know, when you said crisp, I immediately flashed back to fourth grade, being in the cafeteria. Oh, we have apple crisp today, Sonny. And it was not like this.
No,
it,
you're dating yourself.
No, absolutely. We're talking about the early 70s here. So, as I recall what they called apple crisp, it didn't have any of the almonds and everything else. It was just sort of crumbly
flour, and it might have some, some form of nuts. It could be walnuts or whatever they had, a little butter, just to sort of get it to sort of stick together, and oats. And you just sprinkle it. It's very, very easy with a little bit of sugar. Very, very, so easy that it's really healthy, too.
I love it.
It doesn't have a lot of butter. Super healthy. Lots of fruit.
Got some fiber in there.
Antioxidants.
Sure.
Delicious.
All right. Well, now we'll call you Dr. Gale.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551 if you want to talk about fruit desserts with Chef Gale Sokol. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. The thing about this mixed berry crisp is it's not very sweet, but yet you mentioned maple syrup and everything else, and
but
there must be a lot of sugar in it.
No, like a couple of tablespoons in the filling, and then there's some coconut sugar. I mean, very, very, very small amount, and the coconut is unsweetened.
Yeah.
So I didn't even use sweetened coconut. So you can make it as sweet as you want, but you don't need it. The fruit speaks for itself, so it really highlights the fruit.
I love it. And so when you put this in, you're not soaking the fruit in advance.
No.
The juices come out in the baking process?
Yes. So all fruit is very heavily water-based, as you know. And when you put it in the oven, the fruit, you know, it's all going to sort of cook down. There's a little bit of cornstarch, so it has a little bit of a thickening agent in it. So it doesn't just melt out into like watery stuff. So the cornstarch sort of holds it together.
You know, this might not be a bad idea for your next cookbook.
Yeah?
I mean, we've talked about one type of these fruit desserts, a crisp.
So
but
many
there
more.
How many more are there?
Oh, like 7 more at least.
Really?
Have you ever heard of a Betty? remember Betty?
I might have
Betty
known her
were...
once, so I don't know. I'm not going to say.
Remember when you were younger, did you ever hear of an apple brown Betty? Have you ever hear of that?
Vaguely.
All right,
yes.
All right. So you're a little younger than I am. But that's a fruit dessert called a Betty that is made with buttery breadcrumbs. So these breadcrumbs are sort of mixed with melted butter, and they're layered between like chopped up apples that have been mixed with cinnamon, maybe ginger, whatever you want. And then it's layered and baked.
Yeah.
And it's served warm. And the breadcrumbs almost taste, you know, like cakey and with it, but it's super easy to make. And it was always the thing to make when I was younger and I would go to, you know, some function, bridal shower. It was like, oh, we're having apple brown Betty.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So now it's a crisp and a Betty.
And a Betty.
Presumably you have 5 more that you can list off.
Oh, more than that. And
really?
You mentioned a buckle.
Yeah.
You mentioned your wife makes a buckle, so the buckle is like, you're keeping tabs.
I'm
He's
keeping
writing
tabs
stuff
on
down.
This. So we got Crisp Betty Buckle. I think I knew her exactly, as a matter of fact.
And the next one is a cobbler.
Okay.
Okay.
What's
You've
the difference between a cobbler and a buckle?
All right. Well, a buckle, again, is a coffee cake. So that's sort of in its own little category.
All right, I'll cross it off the list.
All right, no. It's part of it. You're right. So a cobbler is more of a biscuit topping. So a cobbler is, picture the fruit is placed in this large oven-proof, container.
Yeah.
It could be a casserole, whatever you want, like I have here, covered with a batter of some sort. Could be
Bisquick.
It could be Bisquick. Yeah, now you're talking, Ray. So
you
can make biscuits with a Bisquick.
Right.
And you make little, like you could take an ice cream scooper or a spoon and just sort of drop little blobs, or you can cut them out. Now, Bobby Flay, I'll have you know, pre-makes his biscuits ahead of time.
He does now.
He does. And then he makes his big peach cobbler in a pan and he puts already baked biscuits on top so they don't get mushy. Isn't that amazing? I made it. It's amazing.
Bobby Flay is wrong, and you're also wrong. No, you want them to get mushy.
Then you would bake it with the filling. You can do whatever you want. But why is it called a cobbler? Why do you think?
Oh, because people who made shoes back in the 1500s would eat this as their main staple in Germany.
Close, no. What do you think like biscuits look like? They look like cobblestones.
Do they?
Right? And, when you walk on cobblestone, yeah, yeah, sort of uneven, that's what this bakes like. Sort of like a cobblestone with fruit underneath. Use your imagination.
That's very pedestrian. I think my mythology is better. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. We've listed three, and I think Chef Gail Sokol said there's 17 more different kinds of fruit desserts. We'll be back. Hey, there's a local guy who really is just a great talent. That's Mike Benedict, and it's 1-2-3-Go. I think that's the title track from his new album. Great drummer and a superb vibe player and a band leader, Mike Benedict, 1-2-3-Go. But I digress. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff with you. We're joined today by Chef Gail Sokol, who is running down the list of some 27 different fruit desserts. And we're down to three at this point. By the way, the number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Before we get back to the cobbler discussion and then move on, this email came in a while back from Ethan in Truckee, California. A couple of oven questions for you, so okay, we'll just quickly get those out of the way. Is a gas stove or an electric stove your consideration of which, if either, is more optimum? Well, that's an interesting sentence, Ethan. Is a gas stove? Do you like gas stoves or electric stoves? I think that might be it.
You know what? Whatever heats things up is my type of stove. So I'm an electric person. I like electric. I was going to get a gas cooktop, and I have heard that it is better for the environment to use electric.
Okay.
A lot of people use gas. A lot of professional chefs, people would come into my house and say, "What? You don't have gas?" But it's actually better for the environment now not to have gas. And you know what? It really doesn't heat up my food any faster. Induction, I have an induction hot plate.
Yeah.
That is super fast, but not all your pots will fit on it.
Okay.
Will heat up on it.
Second question from Ethan. What is the thought of losing heat quickly out of the oven when you open the door while baking?
Okay, Ethan. This is just very basic.
Okay.
All right. So when you open the oven, if the oven is like a box.
Right.
And it is insulated. So if you put it at 350 degrees Fahrenheit, it's going to be, hopefully, if it's calibrated, it'll be at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. And you can always buy an oven thermometer to stick it in there to see. And I've done that to make sure that my oven is correct. And when I've worked in restaurants. Now, if you open the oven door, you're going to lose heat.
Of
it's going to leach out. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to go out where it's cooler. And then your oven temperature is going to drop. So if you have your cake still in there or your cookies, it may take a little while longer for that oven temperature to come back up.
Now, one thing we don't have in our house, and I know you and I have talked about this over the course of some of your appearances, is an oven thermometer.
Right.
And I think if you open that door and you have an oven thermometer, you will see the results of what it is.
I mean,
you
don't need an oven thermometer to know that it's going to go down.
Yeah.
It's like, when you have a fever sometimes, you don't even need a thermometer. You can feel it. So, yeah, it will go down. It's just by nature, it's going to go down. It's nothing to get hysterical about. It's just you want to keep your oven closed as much as possible when you're baking. If you have a window, you can peek through with the light on. I would say whatever minimum baking time your baked good has. So if it says bake from 22 to 30 minutes, don't look in the oven until 22, that first that first interval, and then see. Then you can open your oven. Sometimes I will open my oven and rotate things. So if they're cookies, I'll rotate halfway through just to go like around 180 degrees just to make sure, because all ovens are not totally even in all different places.
Yes, I know. Hey, let me ask you a question while we're talking about ovens. Something that has not bothered me, but I've wondered about for a long time. When you're doing something like this beautiful mixed berry crisp that you brought in, how high up, what shelf are you putting it on?
I always like to put things on the middle rack.
Yeah.
The middle rack. And I find that my oven, and every oven's different, but my oven tends to brown more on the top rack. So if I want to get a little extra color, I'll put it on the top rack. Maybe for a minute or two at the end. And if I want the bottom like a pie, sometimes you want to put it on the bottom rack.
I wondered, and I'm enjoying this crisp a lot, could you do a no-bake version of this just by soaking the fruit and maybe somehow softening up the top just a little bit when you have a...
I mean, you could. There's no eggs in here. There's nothing. You could do that. You wouldn't get the browning. Or you could actually, you know what? Good idea, Ray. You could actually take all these toppings and just sort of saute them quickly on the cooktop, like in a frying pan or whatever, or put the whole thing in a cast iron pan and do it on the stove if you want. You wouldn't get the browning unless you sort of toasted your nuts before or whatever, but you could do it.
Chef Gail Sokol joins us today. Well, we're talking about fruit desserts, and if you have a question, feel free to call 800-348-2551. We have the crisp, which you brought, which was not like the crisp I had when I was in elementary school at the cafeteria at all. It's better. We've talked about Betty. We've talked about the cobbler.
Yes.
What else is on your list?
All right. Crumbles.
A crumble. Now, how is that? Okay. Well, first of all, explain what it is.
Okay. So a crumble is similar to a crisp, but not quite a crisp. So here, there's fruit on the bottom, just like it is with the crisp that you're eating right now.
Yeah.
But the topping doesn't necessarily include any oats or nuts. It's very specific, this fruit dessert
thing. All
right,
so what is it?
All right, so it's more crumbly. It may have flour in it, and it may have spices in it and butter in it, so it gets crumbly and clumpy, like a streusel topping.
Yeah.
But you can actually get big clumps. The more butter to flour, you can actually sort of push it together, almost like wet sand.
Yeah.
You know? And then you sort of clump it and put it on top of the fruit. So here, this is a finer topping on my crisp.
Correct. It almost looks like granola.
It does. And you could actually use granola instead of this topping and make a real quick... Throw your berries in a pan, put granola on it, and throw it in the oven for a little while. That would be beautiful, just until your berries get sort of bubbly.
Who came up with these definitions, though? Because the description you just gave me of a crumble is exactly what Mrs. What's-Her-Name gave me at the school cafeteria and called an apple crisp.
Okay, so again, like I said before, listen up. These definitions overlap, and they're very confusing. So they actually, one overlaps with the other. And these definitions and these desserts have been made for years and years and years, long before you and I were around.
Yeah.
To make fun of them.
Okay. I'm not making fun.
And they're very
I'm
good.
Confused.
Well, you're making a little fun.
That's not true. Yeah, I don't think you know me that well.
Well, Betty, you know, that's a nice dessert, whether you know her or not.
Yes. Oh, let's go to the phone. So that's a good 800-348-2551 is the number. Chef Gail Sokol joins us today on Food Friday. Hey, we go to our buddy Rick Orlando down in the Woodstock way. How you doing, Rick?
Good. Hi, Gail.
Hey, how you doing,
voice.
Rick?
I'm home cooking up a storm listening to you, and now I want to make something sweet, which is nice because I'm not making anything sweet today. I had a question for you. I find myself at least almost 2 months a year now in Sicily hosting food tours, and there's a lot of baking of desserts in wood-fired ovens, and I wanted to ask if you've ever had any experience with that and what your feedback is on it.
I have not made any desserts in a wood-fired oven, but you can make dessert pizzas. You could even do one of these fruit desserts in a wood-fired oven, you know, in a cast iron pan. As long as the pan can take the heat, the fruit can definitely take the heat. It would just take very, very fast amount of time to bake.
Yeah, I mean, you can find, you know, I've actually done some at a place, and we did stratas, like apple stratas. So it's basically an apple pie, but rolled into a a big loaf. And nice. Yeah, if you control the heat right, you can get it done.
It almost sounds like the pan dowdy. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, a little bit. You bake it right on the stone.
Yes.
Right on the base.
Yep.
With the fruit crisp, you know, at the restaurant we had in Albany, that was one of our signature desserts, was our daily fruit. We ended up calling it a fruit crumble because it was like that. But we got to a where we did pre-cook the topping, pre-cook the fruit, and then when you ordered it, we put it together in a small cast iron and gave it about 12 minutes in the oven. And it came out great because one of the problems we ran into is every fruit gives off a different amount of liquid and is soupier or less soupy, and it was really hard to get consistency with the topping getting soggy or staying crispy. So that was our method, so I'm glad to hear
that. Did you add a thickening agent at all, like cornstarch?
To the fruit, yeah. I had a little ratio of lemon juice, sugar, and cornstarch.
Okay.
And it kind of had to... You kind of had to do it by visual, though, because some fruit gave off a lot of juices and, you know, like pears, for instance, didn't give off much at all. So it all depended on the fruit.
And I think the berries are the most watery. But another dessert that you could make in a wood-fired oven, and I'm sure you've made this, are galettes, you know, like a rustic fruit tart.
Yeah.
Plums, apples, peaches, even berries, they'll be phenomenal in a wood-fired oven.
Hey Rick, do you know Chef Gale?
I've met Rick.
We have met back in the Toby Stryanese days, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
And even at WMHT, yeah.
All right, we don't mention that name.
Public radio station.
I'm kidding, of course. We love our comrades over there in Schenectady.
So many people are getting pizza ovens. It's really good.
You know, before you go, Rick, I want to ask you just a philosophical question. Since Chef is here, Chef Gale is very fastidious, and she is constantly berating me for not doing things the proper way. You are something of an artiste, and you throw things like that tomato sandwich you made last week has been on my mind. But you improvise a lot. My point is, bakers are very much to the order of the ingredients and the time and the temperature. You improvise a lot. Other chefs do that a lot. Are you intimidated by the baking process, Rick?
Let me tell you a little secret. Since it's just between the three of us, no one else will know.
Boy, you're right. No one's listening.
I'm also very
You're fastidious as well?
Super fastidious about recipes. I improvise because it's a great shtick and people love to see me do it. But in my restaurants, everything was recipe based. Every single dish that went out the window had a recipe.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to have specific recipes so other people can follow them, because you have, you know, other chefs under you and sous chefs that are doing what you ask them to do, and you want it consistent for everybody.
All right.
Makes sense.
You know what? And 45 years later of being in the kitchen, I'm so glad I started doing that, because now I have all those recipes, and that's why you start writing books.
Yep.
See?
Yep.
I'm glad I did.
Exactly.
Hey, Rick, take it easy. I'm still in negotiations with Rocco. I think you saw the response on our Christmas show, and, well, Rocco was all caps and not too pleased about it. But we'll work it out. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling, Rick.
800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. So before Rick called, we had crisp, Betty, cobbler, crumble. What's number five on Chef Gale Sokol's list?
Okay. Do you know what a grunt is?
I don't know. So there is a food thing that is
called a grunt.
Well, I'll pass. Okay. Thank you.
You might like it. You don't know.
Write it down.
All right. So a grunt is cooked on the stovetop. It's not cooked in the oven.
Yeah.
Cooked on the stovetop. So the fruit is usually stewed or cooked. Stewed means you add a little liquid to it.
Yeah.
You know, it could be juice. It could be a little wine. It could be whatever you want. Even water. Cooked on the stove and then topped with some sort of a biscuity dough or even a dumpling type dough.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, very, very easy. You can think of your Bisquick if you want to think of a, you know, like a very easy dumpling. And then it's covered. You cover the pot. You put the dumpling topping on top and you cover it and cook it on the stove. And then while it's simmering, it grunts.
Oh, cut it out.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not making this stuff up.
Okay, so have you done a video on the grunt?
No.
All right, I want to hear the grunt grunt. All right, that'll be your next one.
All right, that'll be my next one.
All right, that's very interesting.
So makes grunting sounds.
So really, a grunt is a crumble with a bad attitude.
You could look at it like that.
Chef Gail Sokol joins us today. The incredible and confusing world of fruit desserts. We're parsing the whole thing now. 800-348-2551. VoxPop at WAMC.org is the email. Greg writes in, I have pears from my tree in my freezer. How does the pear put its best foot forward?
Oh, you have a lot of options. You can do anything you want. You could make a pie with it. You can make a tart with it. Make an easy flaky pie crust. And then just slice your pears. Mix a little sugar and flour. And put that in the middle of a rolled out, like a big circle, like a 14-inch circle of your flaky pie crust. Put your pears, after you put your flour and your sugar on top with a little cinnamon or whatever, lay out your pears and then sort of flip the dough up maybe 2 inches around the pear so it's like a galette, like a free-form tart. Sprinkle a little sugar on top and throw it in the oven.
Yeah.
That sounds fabulous.
Well, that's not too bad. All right, let's go to Heather in Falls Village, Connecticut. Heather, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
As a Brit, when I came to the U.S., I thought all these names were regional for different kinds of desserts.
Yeah, that makes sense. Gail?
I don't know. I really don't know if they're regional. I think that they are, I've heard of them being used in one form or other all over the world. So I'm not exactly sure of the regionality of them, but they go so far back, you know, like old world stuff.
Right.
So,
yeah.
All right, Heather, what's your favorite one?
I don't know. I anything with blueberries in it, anything with raspberries in it.
Well, what do you do as a Brit? Do you have any specialties that you like that you remember in your country that you love?
No, not really. I mean, my mother, she was a good cook, but it was very plain. It probably would have been a raspberry tart with homemade raspberry jam.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
That sounds very nice, and I could listen to you and your accent all day long. I love your accent.
Well, Heather, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now. 800-348-2551 is the number, and let's go down to Hyde Park, and we talk to John. Hello, John.
Hey, Ray. John Fisher here.
John, it's old home week once again. We got John Fisher. We got Rick Orlando calling in. How are you, buddy?
Just peachy. How are you?
Hey, just peachy. That's hilarious.
Very funny.
Before we start with Chef Gail and the food, LGM. I left the F out. Let's go Mets, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Hey, man. All right. So what do you want to talk about?
There's still plenty of time for it to fall apart.
You got that right. But let's talk about food.
So I wanted to bring up another fruit dessert that you haven't mentioned yet. And Gail, we haven't met, but I teach at the CIA.
Okay.
And I was almost a baker. I actually did my externship at Le Bernardin. And when I graduated from culinary in 1988, they offered me a pastry position. So it was really close, but I didn't take the job.
You made the right move.
Yeah.
He is a mixologist at par excellence. He does many things at the CIA, but
wonderful.
He is my personal mixologist.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
There you go. So the dessert that I wanted to mention is also a lot of fun to say, which is a clafoutis.
Yes.
Clafoutis.
Yes, a clafoutis.
Gesundheit.
Yes.
It sounds like something from, you know, the Music Man with Buddy Hackett singing clafoutis, you know. but it's a really easy dessert. And the only other one that is as easy, I think, is the famous plum tort from the New York Times.
Yes.
That was the most requested recipe of all time from the New York Times. But clafoutis are just really easy and really great. And that little custard is nice and rich, and it helps to set off the fruit. I just wanted to drop that name in because it might be another dessert for the listeners.
Absolutely. That's a great idea, John. Yes, a clafoutis, Clafouti. Sounds like I have had some mixology inside me.
We'll go to my desk. Clafouti. We'll find something, I'm sure.
I have made clafouti with, you can make, I mean, cherries and plums, anything you want, but there's a little custard in it. It's slightly different than, you know, the fruit on the bottom and the crumbling and the biscuits on top, but very, very, very easy to do and yummy, too. Yeah, all you're right. Absolutely right.
Well, thank you for that
thank
one,
you.
Sir.
Do you know?
Go ahead.
Do they always have a crust, or can you make it crustless?
I have never made a clafouti with a crust. I've only done without a crust. So you could probably bake it in a crust, but you know that to me would almost be like a custard pie or a custard tart.
Yeah.
So clafouti,
it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, it defeats the purpose. So I don't think usually baked in a very shallow casserole with eggs and you know dairy and.
Right.
And fruit, and it just yum. Yeah, just yum. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, John, thank you.
Great.
Go ahead, buddy.
My pleasure.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You know, clafouti, that's a bizarre name, right?
It is.
It sounds much like...
Sounds like grunt.
Sounds kind of like a rash. Like yeah, I got a little bit of the clafouti, you know, the penicillin. 800-348-2551 is our number. Chef Gail Sokol is here. You want to call? Give us a call. You want to email? Well, voxpop@wamc.org. We'll check the email bag in a moment. You got to have the Dutch prog rock when you're doing the shows about the fruit desserts. It's 800-348-2551. That was Focus from the Netherlands, I believe, and Long Gone from the 70s. You remember them?
No.
Chef Gail Sokol going to the prog rock concerts in the 70s over in the Netherlands?
No.
All right. We are at Crisp, Betty, Cobbler, Crumble, and Grunt. And you have a couple more on your list.
I do.
What do you got?
Pan Dowdy.
All right.
A Pam Dowdy.
Pam Dowdy. Come on.
I know.
We know Pam Dowdy.
Know.
She was the actress in Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
But what is a Pam Dowdy?
Well, this is where the fruit is on the bottom of a casserole.
Right.
You roll out a flaky pie dough like you're going to make a pie.
Okay, but a raw pie dough.
A raw pie
Not
dough.
Not a par-baked or anything.
No.
Just straight up.
Or a biscuit topping, whatever you like, because I know you love your Bisquick.
You know what? Stop mocking me about the
I'm
Bisquick.
I'm not mocking you.
I it's like Spam
perfectly...
and I like Bisquick.
They're perfectly fine.
All right.
They're perfectly fine. So the dough is rolled out, and it's fit right over the shape of the pan. So if you have a round pan or a rectangular pan, your fruit's in it, and then you're just going to sort of tuck in your dough on top. You roll it out. And then it's baked, partially baked, for a short time. Then you take it out of the oven, and you take a spoon, and you break through the crust.
Ah.
And then you put it back in. So that the fruit can bubble and the crust can finish baking. It sounds good. Sort
it
of
also
like a,
sounds more difficult. This sounds like maybe this is a 201 level baking chore.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. So the fruit will bubble up. It sounds almost like a, you know, there, no bottomless, like a top, just a top crusted pie.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know why it got its name, but my guess is it's baked in a pan and it looks dowdy. When you take it out. So that's my guess
it's
why it's called a Pam Dowdy.
Do we know from whence this came?
No. No. I've done some research and I cannot find it, but I have no idea why the name.
I got to be honest with you. I think you made this one up.
It sounds good.
Pam Dowdy.
It sounds good for someone that made that up.
No, but it does sound
convincing.
More difficult. Like you could screw it up more than something
no,
like
well,
this, the mixed berry crisp.
You're
you really can't screw it up.
This, you know, this crisp ingredients in a bowl. You do have to roll out, or you could even, you know, patch it out and roll it out and put little bits on top.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal.
All right.
No, you could do this.
All right. So we'll put that one down.
Pam Dowdy.
Now I know what that is. Or we're at six. There's one more.
All right. There is one more. It's called a slump. It's called a slump.
Why?
A slump.
Gail, why?
So it's very similar to the grunt. So, you know, the grunt's made on the stovetop and it... grunts sort of as a grunting sound as it cooks. But instead of cooking it on the stove, you cook it or bake it in the oven. And the name comes from the fact that as you spoon it out, it slumps
okay.
on the plate.
Why don't we call it an ooze?
Because that's disgusting. Who wants to eat an ooze? Slump sounds so much nicer.
I don't know. I'm in something of a slump myself. Let's go to the phones. Barb in Clifton Park. Barb, you're on.
Hey, Ray.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. When the person called in and talked about regional, they thought that that was regional descriptions of these dishes. I thought about we had just gotten back from a vacation, and we were lucky enough to be in Iceland. And there was an island that we visited one day called Vigur, V-I-G-U-R, island, just south of the Arctic Circle. And they shared with us something called a happy marriage cake. And basically the fruit in this, well, I guess you would call it a fruit. It's rhubarb jam. Because of the location up there, they don't really grow any fruit, but they grow rhubarb like crazy all over Iceland. And so they do a lot with rhubarb in their cooking. And the lore that they told us was that you make this happy marriage cake if you have a daughter and you feed it to her while she's growing up. And if you give her a lot of it, you know, she'll have a happy marriage for the rest of her life. So that's the story.
Wow, that's
a
very interesting story.
Wow. Interesting. I've never heard of that.
It was cute.
Do they make a divorce cake too?
I don't know.
Barb, did you get to eat any happy marriage cake while you were there? Oh, you did.
Yes, they served us some, and this was a very small island, so we went to visit, and they learned about the island and what else goes on there, and I won't go into that, but they also had the recipe taped down on the counter in the little gift shop, and they allowed you to take a photo of the recipe for a donation. I thought that was cute.
Well, that's nice.
And as a person who doesn't like rhubarb at all, I really loved this. It was basically flour and oats and sugar mixed with butter and some baking powder, I think, and almond extract, I think, was the, and you just press most of it into a cake pan, like a round cake pan, and then you put the rhubarb filling. The recipe says enough rhubarb filling to cover.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
Or rhubarb jam. I'm sorry. Enough rhubarb jam to cover. And then you put the rest of the dough on top.
Let me ask Chef Gail a question here real quick. Have you ever heard, maybe not the name, but have you heard of a similar recipe to that?
It sounds very similar to a Linzer tort or a Linzer tart, which is Austrian, where you do take a dough, you put it down, you put jam on. There's a lot of riffs on this throughout the world. And then you put more dough on top or in a lattice, like the Linzer is. And it's absolutely scrumptious because any jam would work. Rhubarb jam, you could make this at home with any type of, I use usually raspberry, but you could do whatever you wanted. It would be delicious. Apricot, I've made it with apricot as well.
All right. Well, Barb, thank you for that call. We appreciate it very much. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Somebody reminded me here, Bill wrote in, Rosemary Armeo from the Roundtable panel was talking about Clafouti this week and saying, I should be on Roundtable on the Food Friday. And I said, come on, anytime you want. So maybe one of these days we'll get Rosemary Armeo on here, what could go wrong?
Right. What could go wrong?
Let's go to Mary Ellen in Glens Falls. Mary Ellen, you're on.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Gail, I have a little pie business out of my home, and I've been selling an awful lot of Dutch apple pies. And I don't know, I'm afraid to try other fruit. Have you got any suggestions if I want to do that same thing and offer blueberry or anything like that? I don't know. I'm afraid to screw around with it.
Why? Why are you afraid? It would be delicious if you did other things.
Well, I'm wondering, do I need to change anything in terms of the filling or the topping, or can I just use the same Dutch apple topping of the recipe that I have?
So
and
you
the others would like blueberries or raspberries need something else? Because all this recipe calls for is just put the apples in. It doesn't have any cornstarch. It doesn't have any sugar. It doesn't have anything. It's just the apples.
Okay.
And all the sweet and the sugar comes from the topping.
From the streusel topping, right. So what I think you have to do is, taste your fruit. Apples are usually pretty hardy. What type of apples are you using?
Northern Spies.
Okay.
It's the only ones I'll use for my business.
Okay. Ooh. All right. That sounds
a good
very
apple.
Particular, very, very good. And you want an apple that holds together, obviously. So, you know, that sounds great. It's got enough pectin in it to hold together. So if you're going to do berries, what you could do is you could add some apples and put some berries in with the apples. You could do apple blueberry.
Oh.
Try that apple cherry.
Mm.
Try that at first. So you have your apples, put your cherries in, your pitted cherries in, or your blueberries, whatever you want to use. And maybe toss in a little cornstarch with that and just a touch. Just a little and a touch of sugar, like a tablespoon of flour, because your berries will be more water laden. They'll have a little more water inside.
Okay, so but I am going to use, I'd use like a tablespoon of cornstarch.
I would use, depending on how many blueberries you use, if you use like a whole cup full of blueberries, I don't think you're going to need, you know, a tablespoon. You
might. My Dutch apple pies have 6 cups of fruit.
Okay, so if you did half, let's say 3 cups of apples, and you did 3 cups of berries. Or cherries, you might want to use about a tablespoon of cornstarch. Yes. Start with that and see how that does, because you don't want it to be too watery.
Hey, Mary Ellen. Oh, no, you good. You finish up with Gail. I have a question for you.
Oh, okay. And then would I want to add a little sugar?
You could do that as well, because,
Gail?
Yes, it depends on the type of cherries. And taste your fruit before you use it. Some blueberries need a little extra. They're a little too tart. And make sure you taste your apples as well as you've been doing, because you're so proficient with the apple one. But I would add a little bit of sugar in with that cornstarch. Mix it up first and then combine it with your apples and your other fruit together. Oh, I think this would be delicious.
Hero.
I think it would be delicious, Mary Ellen. Oh. It would be delicious.
Oh, my God. You're my hero. People have been asking me, and I'm reluctant because I don't want to sell a product. I don't want to experiment on them.
Mary Ellen, be brave. It will be good.
As long as no one dies, Mary Ellen, I think you'll be fine.
I think it'll be excellent.
Hey, have you ever made a slump before, Mary Ellen? Do you ever make a slump?
A slump?
Yeah.
No, you guys are educating the heck out of me today.
Is
a slump?
Well, what is a slump?
What is
it? Well, my career began in 1987, and it's been a slump ever since. Anyway,
I love you. I do love you. I love your show. Chef Gail, thank you. I love you, too.
I love you, too, Mary Ellen. And you go for it. Do it. You go, girl.
Thank you for the call, Mary Ellen. We appreciate it very much. And now we go over to, let's see. There's a song. Yes. Gene and Sprakers. Gene, you're on.
Yeah, okay. Listen, I just thought you guys might be interested because I'm an old codger and I go back to the 50s, 1950, that is.
Yeah.
And there was a song by Stan Kenton sung by June Christie, and it was Shoe Fly Pie and Apple Pan Dowdy makes your eyes light up and your stomach say howdy.
Well, I love it. Do you know the other song, When It's Apple Blossom Time in Orange, New Jersey, We'll Make a Peach of a Pear? Do you remember that one?
Well, I know that, but that wasn't my thing. I was into Stan Kenton a lot.
All right.
But
well,
if you get a chance, if you can get listen to that song by June Christie, you'll die. You'll love it.
Right. Oh, it sounds great.
If I had only known before the show. thank you, Gene,
thank
very
you,
much.
Thank you, Gene.
Let's go to Sue in the Berkshires. Sue, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm thinking you might have covered it, but just in case, I was out to eat at the Firehouse Cafe in Adams, Mass. The other night, and for dessert he had a pavlova.
Yes,
and it was really, really good.
What's a pavlova?
And it's kind of a meringue based, a hard meringue, and then it had raspberries with a little bit of lemon something in it. And
did you have any whipped cream?
My mother never called. Oh, yeah, definitely whipped cream.
Yes.
Of course. My mom used to make, she never called it a pavlova, but for Valentine's Day, she used to make like a free-form tart meringue and then put strawberries and whipped cream, so that's what it reminded me of, too. But it was absolutely delicious.
Yes, pavlova was named for the ballerina. Pavlova.
Of course.
By a famous chef. And you can be made in individual form. It could be made in a big... I have made you one.
Oh, you have?
A while back, yes.
Oh, yeah, Sue, this was great. Yeah, we had this a while back.
A large meringue. You probably don't remember.
I don't remember.
And I baked it just like you had. And then I put... You can put anything on it from... You know, chocolate sauce, whipped cream, raspberries. You can even put things like sorbet and ice creams on it and serve it with like anything you want. Chopped nuts, pistachios. It's delicious.
We got to have that again. I'll really appreciate it this time.
Okay, yes, you will.
Sue, thanks for the call. By the way, this email from Mark. I love Virginia apple pudding, and I use the same recipe for peaches and pears. What's Virginia apple pudding?
I'm not sure. It sounds almost like a bread pudding.
Yeah.
Depends on what you're calling a pudding. Pudding is a very general term. Could be a bread pudding. Could be a custard that they put fruit in, similar to a clafouti. So I'm not sure what he is referring to, but okay. it varies.
All right. Fran in Gallatin writes in, love your show, especially when Chef Gail is on.
Aw.
And Fran says, the New York Times plum tort is so easy. It was the only cake my late husband ever made. He would make it every year when the local plums were in season. I have some plums and we'll be giving it a try soon. And that is from Fran.
Oh, that's nice.
One of your
nice.
Big fans.
That's nice.
All right. So what's your favorite of this? We have a minute here. What's your favorite of these seven types?
I think I like the crisp.
The
one I brought in. I love this combination and I like it with vanilla ice cream. Or even buttermilk ice cream, which is coming up as a video in a couple weeks.
Buttermilk ice cream.
Oh, it's amazing. It's the new vanilla, Ray. It's the new vanilla ice cream.
Now, buttermilk. It has a much higher fat content, right?
No, it depends. Some buttermilk is low fat, but I use a whole fat.
So it'll be very creamy with less overrun.
Oh, look! Listen to you with the overrun talk. Yes, overrun is how much air is beaten into the or stirred in or paddled into
right,
the ice
are.
Cream.
Right.
You are something.
Well, there you go.
Surprise me.
Well, I might remember something from one of your shows
it's
too. Sometime
delicious.
One of the things that makes your crisp so good is your whipped cream.
The whipped cream.
And just tell us again, this is just straight up whipped cream. You do it so well, though.
Well, you've asked me about this before, so I will tell you you just have a lot on your mind. So this is heavy cream, which I have beaten with a couple of tablespoons of confectioner's sugar. That's my secret. Not granulated. And a splash of pure vanilla extract. You must add that pure vanilla extract because it adds that beautiful fresh flavor, that vanilla, and then you taste the creaminess, it highlights it.
We've talked about that before.
Yes.
And I've always said, vanilla extract's very expensive. You can't use the half fake stuff.
No, don't use it. It tastes like cough syrup. It really does. It tastes terrible.
I like cough syrup.
No, you don't. All right. Not in your heavy cream.
Chef Gail, how do you know? Chef Gail, how do we find you on the internet?
Go to my website, chefgailsokol.com.
You are the very best. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Support comes from Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, serving Albany since 1982. Now serving their regional Italian cuisine 7 days a week for dining, working to provide a safe experience for their patrons. CafeCapriccio.com. White Management Corporation, a family-owned and operated restaurant group that includes the Log Jam, Butcher Block Steak and Seafood, Bountiful Bread, and Annabelle's Pizza Company, whiterestaurants.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, working to spread peace, love, and happiness with handcrafted in small batches infused sea salts, pepper, and blends, specializing in black garlic, rollingrocksalt.com. And Greylock Federal Credit Union, for over 80 years now with 13 branches, including the newest location in Greenport, Hudson, New York. Opportunity grows here, greylock.org, for information. Well, that's it. Thanks again to the great Chef Gail Sokol for being here. She'll be back soon with a new surprise for you and me, boys and girls. Zach Malloy is our engineer. Phone screen today, briefly, by Dina Salzman, and then by Jordan Yuxall. And thank you both for that one. I'm Ray Graff. We'll be back Monday at 2 p.m. for a Medical Monday. Have yourself a splendid weekend.